Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming. My name is Janusz Makuch. I'm a director of a Jewish Culture Festival, which is less important today. The most important today is that we have a pleasure and honor to host in Krakow this amazing person, spiritual movement of the unbelievably important and beautiful festival in Jerusalem called Mekudeshet Jerusalem Season of Culture. Mrs. Naomi Bloch Fortis, who is the executive director of this festival. And I have to tell you something. I've been in Israel, in Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, from 25 years. At the beginning, you know, it has never been the closed city, but I felt this very strong tension. And I remember once I met, what is the name of this tall guy who was probably the director of the Jerusalem Foundation?
Yes.
And he told me, you know what, we have to do all our best to bring the real life and the real, not just only religious, but the secular culture to Jerusalem. But it was like 10, 12, 15 years ago. And suddenly when I came, I think 3 years ago, I don't remember exactly, and I heard about the Jerusalem Season of Culture, and I, you know, entered the old city, Jerusalem, and I saw this amazing, beautiful, colorful, diversified, living Israeli, Arabic, Muslim, Christians culture, which intertwined together. I thought, my God, this is a real Jerusalem. This is a real place. And everything, thanks to the Naomi and her friends, and Itai, by the way, sent her us a beautiful email. So believe me, I thought that would be phenomenal to do something together. Because we are trying to do something similar in this very, I wanted to say Catholic country, but in this country. And suddenly I met Naomi, I met the rest of the people who are in charge in this beautiful festival, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart that you accept our invitation, that we came to Krakow, to our small Jerusalem, and that we have started to collaborate, and that we are doing something together. So ladies and gentlemen, it's a great, great pleasure to welcome in Krakow Naomi Bloch Fortis, and you are in her magic, beautiful hands. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, my friend. That's a bit overwhelming. Maybe we should end now. I'll get my best if we end now after the beautiful word you said. Thank you. Can you repeat like that?
No.
Sorry.
Okay, let me just have my notes back to me. Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Try again. Ah, it's closed now.
So that was a little teaser to our upcoming Mekudeshet 2017 festival, which will be open at the end of August in Jerusalem. So in the midst of preparing all that, I'm really excited to be here with you. So my name is Naomi. In my background, I was not born in Jerusalem. I was born somewhere else in Israel. I've been a dancer. That has been 100 years ago. And then later, I became the executive director and co-artistic director of the Bat Sheva Dance Company. That was my world and my life internationally for very, very long, until I got that phone call from a friend of mine inviting me to join him to a venture to open a new art and culture organization in Jerusalem. And as many Israelis back then, I was like, Itai, what are you talking about? Jerusalem? Why Jerusalem? What is for me in Jerusalem? Jerusalem was completely irrelevant for me as an Israeli. I think I would spend 10 times a year, a week in New York, and I maybe have spent 2 days a year in Jerusalem, or 2 half days a year in Jerusalem. So irrelevant it was for me, so it was only 70 kilometers away from my base hometown. The idea was to look for an art to build a new art and cultural organization that will participate in the renewal of Jerusalem. And the first thing we were asking ourselves is a question I want to ask you people. When you think of Jerusalem, when I say the word Jerusalem, what's the first thing that comes into your mind? What's the first connotation? Sorry?
The war.
The war. Conflict.
The wall.
Which wall? Which of the walls?
The old
wall. The old city, the walls, stones. What else? Sorry? Holy city. The fact that the city is sacred and holiness and sacred for three, for all three monotheistic religion. What else? Mea Shearim. Again, religious. Chagall, right. So you are like anyone else we ever met. The main narratives of the first connotations with the word Jerusalem, with the concept of Jerusalem, has to do with walls, history, conflict, wars, and then, of course, holiness, religion, sacredness. I guess you never have been thinking about Jerusalem in connection to art and culture. Jerusalem as a very unique place for art and culture, or not even Jerusalem as people. When you Google Jerusalem, mainly you will see stones and monuments, less the people of Jerusalem. So I understood, that was the first thing we understood, that the narratives that are dominating the idea of Jerusalem in the world of so many people are the city being religion and sacred, and the conflict, the history and the conflict that is there in the city. Let me stop here and give you some information that maybe we need to add to that conversation. So Jerusalem is a city of almost 1 million inhabitants, I think very close to Krakow, okay? 37% of the inhabitants of Jerusalem are Palestinians who were annexed to Jerusalem in 67. They are, most of them are Muslims, some of them are Christian. Another 32 or 33% of the city are Jewish ultra-Orthodox. And I mean ultra-Orthodox, people who are very restricted with the way the life are very restricted. And the rest is everything else, which are religious people, secular people, and so on. So basically, in one city, we have at least two very closed communities. Palestinians in East Jerusalem, the Palestinians, mainly most of them will not speak Hebrew and they're not part of the cultural life of secular people. And the same thing with the Jewish ultra-Orthodox people. Okay, so the city, in the first glance, is very divided into three communities. So that's very simplified, but still three communities. We were understanding very fast after starting our research into the city that out of the very, very dominating narratives of Jerusalem, sacred and conflictual, there's actually a very unique art and culture story which has never been told. But those artists who create in Jerusalem, those the art that is immersed from Jerusalem or being created in Jerusalem, has to do with those two narratives. And therefore, it's very unique and unique to Jerusalem. And here started our exploration of what is it that we could do in Jerusalem, which will be very city-specific. City-specific is, I'm using the term, or I'm looking at the artistic term called site-specific, which means piece of art that could only be shown and exist in a very specific site. We took that and we say city-specific. What is city? What is the art that is city-specific to Jerusalem? Art that you can never see anywhere else in the world, but only in Jerusalem, because it's so much rooted and dependent in Jerusalem. And the first thing we did when we had to start and educate ourselves to look at the city in a very new and different way to understand what is it, as to find what is city-specific art in Jerusalem, we invited our friend Kutiman, who maybe some of you know because later on he's been also here in the festival. We invited him to look through his eyes and to listen through his ears to Jerusalem and mix it the way he wants to do it. And that was, I think, 7 years ago. Let's have a look at that. So Kutiman, in his very fresh view of the city, he captured many themes that we found very interesting about Jerusalem. It's Jerusalem that is full of beauty but also ugly. It's Jerusalem that is full of grace but also bleeding. It's Jerusalem that is Muslim and also Jewish and also Christian. It's the old city. It's the new building of Jerusalem. It's the very conservative, traditional life of Jerusalem, but also the very alternative life of Jerusalem, which is hard to believe it, but it's a very strong element of Jerusalem. It's Jerusalem culinary, it's a diversity of the people of Jerusalem, and it's the beauty of meeting the and seeing these unbelievable moments and frame that your mind is not expecting to match. In many ways, that's the capsulator, or he captured many themes that we were starting to look at. And we were searching the city into different stories. So we had this festival of, very important to say, one more element that we understood quite immediately when we started to deal with Jerusalem is, of course, its political side. Everything is political in Jerusalem. There's not one square meter that you stand on and decide to deal with or work with that is not political. It means something to somebody. It maybe annoys somebody else. It has, on the same one square meter, there are so many different narratives, so many different people will claim they know who it belongs to or what happened here in the past or where it should be and so forth and so forth. And in many ways, there's no mainstream. Nobody agrees on nothing. So there's no way you could do something that will not be difficult or challenging or complex to the other. You cannot avoid politics, and everything becomes political in Jerusalem. On top of that, Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, that adds another layer. So we were dealing with politics and arts in a festival called Under the Mountain, which dealt with politics and art in the public domain, and for example, dedicated itself 1 year to Temple Mount. Temple Mount is a very, very explosive point in Jerusalem. Very much belongs to a radical, ultra-radical religious discussions. All of a sudden, we were dealing with it in an artistic way, trying to charge it with many other, many, many options of narratives and way to look at Temple Mount. We were dealing with the issue of house in Jerusalem, homes. Homes in Jerusalem are so charged with so many meanings. The home hospitality of Jerusalem, home and house in Hebrew is the same word, so it's the first temple and the second temple has the same name, Beit Rishon and Beit Sheni. All homes in Jerusalem have layers of history, who they belong to and where they belong to. So we were choosing different homes, and artists would create their works, very personal works, to their homes that they belong to or connected to or feel close to, and invite the audience to explore Jerusalem by visiting, for example, family homes here and there. Also, we made it very clear to us that we want our audience to reveal something about Jerusalem, to reveal something about themselves. So we decided that nothing that we do will take place on regular theaters. We would always find us not in theaters. You'll find us in the caves, in the amphitheaters, in the streets, in the public domain, on the roofs, in the cathedral, in the synagogues, anywhere, but not the theater, in the citadels, but not the theaters themselves. Also, we were looking for different phenomena and untold stories from Jerusalem. We wanted to go away from the cliché, all those words we were using about what is Jerusalem. I want to tell you about one very particular story, which I think was really interesting and phenomenal. For years, we heard the rumors or the legend or the urban legend, we didn't even know if it's true or not, about an Ethiopian nun that lives in an Ethiopian church in Jerusalem that is a phenomenal musician. We didn't know if that was true or not until we got that phone call from a friend of us who is a musician, who heard about Emma Hoitsege, an Ethiopian nun, 90 years old, who has a very long history and story that she resides in Jerusalem in the monastery for over 45 years now, who is a phenomenal musician that was admired all over the world because one album of her was released many years ago. But since the last 40 years, she wouldn't touch the piano anymore, and she wouldn't play, and she doesn't want nobody to talk about what she does or for herself to be on stage because she became closer and closer to God and to Jesus, and she believed that fame is not for her and she has to worship God. And therefore, many musicologues and people would come to the monastery, knock on her door, ask to talk to her, and she will always tell them to go. Always tell them to go. Not anymore, I'm not dealing with music anymore. Until one day, Maya, our friend, she was also knocking the door. And I don't know why, Emma Hoy, back then she was maybe 87, she opened the door. Emma Hoy is a very, very small woman, very modest. She lives in a very, very small room in a monastery. She has a very old piano next to her, and she welcomed Maya in, and they had a nice discussion, and somehow Maya was able to play some of her music on the piano, which was very difficult to be played. I'm not a musician, I cannot explain why, but it was very difficult. And Emma was very impressed with that, and they kept contact for a while. And then, a few years later, Maya got this phone call from Emma Hoy saying, "Listen, Maya, soon I will turn 90. And now I understand that if I don't do anything with my music, then by the day I will die, none of it will remain. Please come and let's think about it." And the next phone call that Maya made is to us and said, "I have something really important for you." She only started to tell the story, and we knew exactly what she's talking about. And then we went into a long process with Emma Hoy, which was interviewing her, learning her story to depths. Most importantly, notating her little notes and napkins and sheets where she was writing and composing her music, which was never professionally notated. We notated 12 of her music pieces professionally into a book that is now spread all over the world and everybody can play it. And most amazingly, we put together this concert where different musicians played her music from a recital on you know, piano, as she would do in the past, to a piece for a full philharmonic orchestra that a great musician was editing, a piece of her, and so forth. This was our way to tell back then, that was 2013, that in Jerusalem there are many more layers and stories, and here is the minority of the minority of the minority of the minority, a woman, an aunt, Ethiopian, very, very old, who can be actually a mega star with what she does, and she tells a very, very strong and important story of Jerusalem as well. Let's have a look at her for a second. My translators, I will say what's written in Hebrew and you can translate it. So behind very heavy doors in Ethiopia Street. In a very, very small and modest room. Lies one of the secrets of the music world. A very important composer of our day. Comes from a noble family. 90 years old, but very sharp in her mind. She speaks 7 languages, by the way. She's never been on stage in Israel before, and nobody else ever played her music live until Maya Dunich, the lady I was talking about, met her. Emma Hoitsege. Her music, of course, what you hear. A composer, an aunt, a legend. So that's one example of a city-specific project. One other example was the... that's the time for the photos. Okay. Maybe I didn't say that, but it was very clear for us that art and culture is a very, very wide definition and could include everything, okay? So it would be culinary, broadcasting, parties, discussions, tours, music, dance, theater, spoken word, and you name it. Culinary is a very strong identity of Jerusalem. There is something very special about it. So we made a decision to celebrate that as well. And actually what we did is we decided to tell the story, the diverse story of Jerusalem through culinary as well. We put together the first food truck ever in Israel. I know you have many of them here, but back then in Israel and up until now, there are no food trucks allowed. We put together this crazy food truck with a very known Israeli or Jerusalemite chef who was already then celebrated as a mega star of the new culinary cuisine, very rooted in Jerusalem, but also uprising or uplifting it to something which is very contemporary and up to date. And together with him, we were creating 23 crazy days. Each day there was one Jerusalem personality, famous or unfamous, young or not young, Muslim, Christian, whatever, that cooked with him a very important dish, made it as the important dish for him personally, made it as a street food, sorry. We would announce a few hours or few minutes in advance at the same day to our people that we're going to land or park somewhere in Jerusalem, you can just call it, and open the food truck for everybody to enjoy and eat. There was always some music around, there was always some, many people came, you can go on and go on. By the way, let's stop here. This is Ruby Rivlin, who is now the president, the very beloved president of Israel. Back then he was member of Knesset. That was also one of the people. He served a vegetarian dish, by the way, at one of the neighborhoods of Jerusalem, and go on, and so on, and so on. That was Ramadan night. We served kataif, what the Muslims eat when they break the fast of Ramadan. We did that on the walls. You spoke about the walls of the old city. This is our food truck. And this is a little map that shows the trail of our food truck in Jerusalem. In many ways, it was mapping the different neighborhoods of Jerusalem. Okay? So that's one more example for a city-specific idea. Then came the summer of 2014, where we prepared a beautiful program for the summer of 2014. One of them was the program of sacred music. That was a new narrative for us, to look for sacred music. We spent hundreds of hours to discuss and to learn what does it mean, sacred music. Of course it means liturgic religious music, sure. But also, what else does it mean? What is sacred for you, Emmanuel? As a very contemporary musician, non-religious, what is sacred for you? What is sacred for Annie, who is really young? What's sacred for me? What does it mean if a music is sacred to you? Then it's not anymore sacred for me? Or can I be with you and we celebrate the sacredness of everybody together? And then what makes the music sacred or not sacred? Is any piece of art sacred? All those questions we were asking ourselves, and we found answers to them. We still are looking for the right answers. We're still in the process of the definition of what is sacred. But back then we put together a very, very beautiful sacred music festival, which was a very open celebration for musicians from all over the world to come and celebrate their faith. Doesn't matter where they're coming from, who they believe in, if it's religious or not religious, why is it sacred for them? Is it very contemporary, experimental? Is it jazz? Whether it's rock and roll, whether it's ancient, everything was accepted if it felt sacred. And we put together this beautiful program of sacred music. And more programs for the summer of 2014. 2 days before we started our festival, which was back then, should have been 2.5 months, the Gaza war broke. The Gaza war broke, and it was clear to us that we will not continue as usual when nothing is usual. But we also had to ask ourselves, what is it our role as art and cultural organization in a city as Jerusalem, in the society of Jerusalem and Israel at a time of war? Not only the war was really, really, how can I say, difficult. Every war is difficult. It was long and bleeding and heartbreaking in so many ways. Also, that war was tearing the Israeli society, and especially Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is the heart of everything. The conflict is very clear there. Jerusalem is much more sensitive in all that, the society. So the society of Jerusalem and of Israel was tearing apart, full of violent and hatred and fear and separation. And this was one of the worst, I think, time for Israeli society. And we were trying to understand what is our answer as art and culture organization at a time like that. So we decided not to go on with our festival as usual, but to find what is it that we need to do. That's a long process. I will not go into that. But as the war was, we always believe the war will be quite short, and therefore we can continue to produce everything. So once the war is over, we will be up there with our different programs. The last one would have been the Sacred Music Festival. 2 months later. I'm making a shortcut here. The war was really, really long, and we had to keep on cancel all of our productions. And we were looking for what is it that we could do. But we were keeping on producing the Sacred Music Festival, believing that the war will end by then, 2 months later, and we will have the audience coming to celebrate the music. What happened that the war ended 10 days before the time of the Sacred Music Festival, and in a very crazy decision, completely crazy decision, we decided that we will have the festival, we'll celebrate it. I don't know exactly how we did it, production-wise, ticket-wise, talking to the people and so on, but the festival was there. And the feeling of everybody getting together under the umbrella of Jerusalem as a place which is open and diverse, and embracing everybody and inviting everybody and enabling all faiths and all people and all different religion and all different ages and all different sort of music to get together under one umbrella of openness and diversity and love and peace, if I may say the word, was very, very, very strong. One of the strongest moments were this group of musicians from Turkey, Muslim musicians, went up on stage to perform together with the Israeli rabbi. Sorry, not from Turkey, from Morocco. From Morocco they came to think together with a Israeli Jewish rabbi. The same songs, the same music back there, the same ancient roots. That was a very important moment for us to understand that actually the sacredness of Jerusalem is maybe the most important and strong engine of the city, and everything else is coming out of there. Okay, I would like to show you, where are you? I would like you to join me with, what is it? No, go backwards, I go off to the next one. Okay, farewell to the 2014 Sacred Music Festival.
I've been to many countries, but when it came to that, I was going to Israel. For me, it was to Jerusalem. For me, it was something, it was an honor.
أقصى بجدراني هذا الحجر ديالها تنطق بالسلام.
That's the rabbi.
ما بين
And that's a musician from Morocco.
أبين كان أمرت شتصرخ ليوت شالوم بين الدتوت سلام بين الأديان.
We'll be right back. for the news to tell the one side. And then you have to have somebody to show that other side. And the Sacred Music Festival is another side. That's a side that dares to say, hey, we don't have to believe your report because we have our own. This report is about how we can all get together and take different cultures
respect
and bring it to a sacred place.
Netta will perform here in a few days. Fact of parallel realities that lies together in the same city in the lives of everybody in Jerusalem became very important in what we do. So as few of the musicians were speaking here about parallel reality, you don't need necessarily to listen to the news or to let somebody else tell you about what's going on here. You better experience it yourself. Was something that became very important in our life, and we found ourselves more and more close to reality in Jerusalem and trying to curate as artists, to curate the reality in our way, curate the reality, spin it in a very positive way, make art out of it, and then leave it in the city to keep on influencing the city. So not anymore only the art is born and inspired by reality, but the art is also creating reality, inspired by reality and creating reality. I'll quickly go through two examples for that. One is a project we did 2 years ago, which, as I told you, after deciding that the sacredness of the city is something that is very important for us, we would like to recharge the idea of sacredness and make it accessible to everybody. Everybody can celebrate, each of us can celebrate his own sacred, what's sacred for him. So we invited nine personalities in Jerusalem. Three of them are Muslim leaders, religion leaders. Three of them are Jewish religious leaders. And three of them are Christian religious leaders from different denominations and different ways and so on. We invite them to create together as to their will. It was not our crazy idea or artistic wish. It came from them, but we invited them to use the artistic venue of our festival to create a house of prayer for all believers for 7 days during our festival. They spent, I think, 9 months of working one full day in a week to learn about one each other, to understand one each other, and to dream together and take decisions together in a very democratic way of where this house of prayer should be, What should it celebrate? Who will be invited? How will it look like? What will be allowed and not allowed there? How will it fit into an art and culture festival? What will be its message? And so on and so on. Where we went into that process, it was like an artistic process. Maybe it will not succeed. Maybe after a while together, they will understand that even if they want to do that, they cannot do that. What seems completely crazy in the reality of Jerusalem, having Christians, Muslims, and Jews creating a house of prayer open for all believers, which is actually in the ancient times, it was common, came together and became reality for 7 days in Jerusalem, where those nine amazing people, men and women, by the way, invited the audience of all religion and the secular audience and the Buddhist and whoever wants to celebrate with them what the house of prayer is for them. That's one more example. And the last one that I want to tell you about, talking about, again, looking at reality, curating it differently, spinning it into an artistic form and leave it in the city to keep on creating new realities in Jerusalem, is the journeys for dissolving boundaries. During the exploration that we did in Jerusalem, and after the 2014, we also understood that our partners are not only the art and culture people and scene, but also people from different social activists and different organizations who are important in the fabric of the city. We met so many people who live in Jerusalem, and they are completely out of the boxes, out of the cliché. People who can hold easily multiple identity and can dissolve boundaries, all kind of boundaries, geographical boundaries, walls, the different walls, religion boundaries, consciousness, beliefs, inner, outer, political boundaries, and so on. People who live differently, even though we look at them and we're sure that we know who they are, who they vote for, what they believe in, how they behave, when we hear their stories, when we meet them, this is quite mind-blowing. And Moran Aviv, one of our other creators, created these journeys where we invite our audience to spend 5 hours with us. And all we can tell them is, listen, you're going to meet us at a certain place in Jerusalem. You're going to completely give up any kind of control. We will bring you there after 5 hours. What we assure you that you will go in a journey in Jerusalem as you've never seen or expected or believed that exists, which will zigzag the city geographically but also conceptually in a way that you never zigzagged before. And you will meet 4 to 5 personalities or people. Documentary, this is the people, they are not performers, who will tell you stories in places that will blow your mind. And in a very artistic way, it's a performance of 5 hours. We go in a very artistic way from place to place. Some of the tours will go by a minibus, some of them will go by the light train, some of them by walking. And we never know who we're going to meet before we meet him. We meet a person that becomes the documentary part of this of this tour. We meet a person or a woman or a man, we talk to them, we continue to the next stop, and only at the end of the day, after four and a half or 5 hours, and that accumulates to one story, which you cannot put on any narrative, you cannot understand, you cannot believe, you couldn't expect it, you get a taste of Jerusalem that is very unique and very new and very different than any other, and that's reality. Okay, so these are the journeys to dissolve boundaries, which exist every day in our festival 23 times this year. Okay, talking about different narratives, we'll go to the last one. Talking about different narratives, Jerusalem celebrated, or some people in Jerusalem celebrated 50 years to the reunification or liberation of Jerusalem. Some other people in Jerusalem just mentioned 50 years of occupation, or maybe were mourning 50 years of occupation, and so on and so on. And we were at that moment, we felt again as a Institute of Art and Culture, we need to have our own voice in this moment of 50 years to the Six Days War, and we're releasing this video that tells the story of so many narratives. about that. Maybe we'll start from the beginning. It's a very short video. Let's go from the beginning. Jerusalem 2017, a piece of art made by Yair Mos and Daniel Zinni, music by Emmanuel Wittstum. Thank you for joining me here. Thank you. That's it. I'll be happy to answer any questions if you have. Thank you for listening to me. I know it's a lot. Any questions? Thank you very much. And come to Jerusalem. Come in peace. Thank you, my translators. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, please.